Hello everyone. Let us now discuss chapter 3, which is supply chain management. Why is supply chain management an important function in the overall journey of enterprise solutions? Because supply chain management can give actually a company a competitive advantage which it looks for over its business rivals. Supply chain management can be an important component when the overall business modeling is concerned. How do you leverage cost relationships with the different vendors, suppliers? How do you have a finished good reach the customer in time? So ensuring that the finished goods reach the customer in proper shape, proper time, ensuring a proper service delivery. So everything is a part of the supply chain function as such. So what is supply chain? It's the end-to-end value chain in the entire product life cycle, right from where the product is made. So before the goods, raw materials and the goods are supplied from the vendors or the suppliers, till the time it reaches the end customer. So there are a number of things involved, like the total time to reach to the customer. If the customer is unhappy with the nature of the goods, then he might want to return it, right? So let us take an example of Amazon. So suppose if you buy something from Amazon or Flipkart, if you like it, good for you. If you don't, then I think Amazon gives you a time to replace it, and they'll send someone to collect it, and they will make an entry there itself, so that it reflects in your account that the good has been returned. Now, how is that possible? It is possible through something called as the reverse logistics. Reverse logistics is also an important part of the supply chain. So what happened in this example is, when you place an order, it went to the merchant site. So Amazon, obviously, is a marketplace. It went to the merchant site. The merchant confirmed the order to Amazon. It shipped it. And then finally the order reached to your place. So it's an end-to-end chain from where the good has been created and it's been sent to the final consumer. And on top of it, you've returned it, right? So the reverse logistics is also very important. Now, in case of the FMCG companies, telecom companies, this distribution network to reach the distributors or the retailers or the dealers is really important. So it's actually the strength of a company. So you would see here on the slide which is mentioned is that there are a number or some of the parts that are purchased from suppliers and products sold to the customer. They form a end-to-end value chain. And supply chain are those functions which are concerned with the efficient integration of the factories, the suppliers, the vendors, so that it satisfies the service level conditions, right? So the point I'm driving is that supply chain can be an important function in the overall corporate journey, and it can give you a cost advantage so that you have an edge over a competition. So again, let me go back to the FMCG example. Companies like ITC, companies like HUL, how are they successful? Because they've built a very strong supply chain network, a very strong and robust distribution network through which they are able to sell their goods to the end customer, right? So it gives a real competitive advantage. So take an example of say some of the remotest parts of the country. So someone like a FMCG company, right, he will have a very strong distribution network as compared to, say, for example, someone like a e-commerce company, right, or a car manufacturer for that matter. So the point I'm driving is that the distribution network has to be so robust that it gives you an edge to win the competition and win your customers. So supply chain management, as we see, has emerged as a new way to improve productivity and competitiveness, both for manufacturing companies as well as service-led industries. And now the importance of this area is that the business world has gone past the era where a company just manufactured and assembled everything under one roof. Now, the function is such that you need to have a lot of input from different partners, different vendors. These suppliers, one can be in one part of the country, someone can be in another part of the country, someone can be in another part of the globe as well. But then how the function integrates everyone together so that your production process is not hampered, it's delivered in time, your inventories are kept at an optimal level, and the end product reaches the customer in a good shape. So that forms an important part of the SCM function. As it is mentioned, it starts and ends with the customer. Obviously, customer is the king, right? So all companies work for the customer. So the supply chain, there are two important key stakeholders. One is obviously the customer, and second, not to forget, the vendors or the suppliers, because they supply you the goods, the raw materials. In case of Amazon, it is the seller who actually sells the product, right? And people actually write reviews that, you know, this product is not good and Amazon should take action. So basically it's the supplier who is an important part in the e-commerce play. But in case of a manufacturing play, it's the supplier who just supplies the raw material, but the company makes the finished good. So the company is responsible for ensuring that the product customization is done, the quality checks are in place, the service level agreements are in place, the customer has a happy index or a happy quotient. So the company is responsible. But in case of an e-commerce company, it's the actual end seller who sells the product, because it's just a marketplace, correct? But then in case of an e-commerce company, how it is successful? It is through the supply chain and the logistics function. So let us understand what are the building blocks of supply chain. So we mentioned the entire supply chain, customer is a key stakeholder. So the entire chain starts and ends with the customer, we just saw. The end-to-end point, the end point in the supply chain is the on-time delivery to the customer. The functions in the bullet below are basically the intermediate business functions. They help realize the customer order. Now we all say that everyone works for the customer, so we will see some of the other points how they relate to fulfilling a order for the customer. The next important building block is the planning. So think of a car manufacturer, right? So it will have some kind of demand analysis from the market, and then it will actually plan. So plan about what? Plan about how the car has to roll out, how the product should look like. Should actually plan how the raw material should get integrated, how the vendors and the partners should be onboarded, how the marketing process should look like, how the inventory should stack up, how the finished goods should look like, right? So all these functions are a part of the planning unit. So once you have the demand forecast in place, then a proper action plan has to be rolled out to see how the product can reach the end customer. The third important building block is the purchasing. So you have visualized the idea, you have planned about it, you've done the demand forecasting. Now it's the time to actually make the purchase contracts and the vendor negotiations. So you actually make a purchase contract and you have the vendor negotiations in place, so that your purchasers, your suppliers and your vendors are onboarded. Then comes the inventories and the stores. Now, a critical point here to note is that although the inventory or the stores might seem a very back-end function as such, but then in case of a manufacturing company, the inventory, the finished good inventory, the raw materials, they have to be maintained at an optimal level. Why? Because if you pile up on your inventory, then also there is an inventory carrying cost. And if your finished good inventory is very high, that means you are not able to sell it in the market. So what's the idea of having a finished good in your inventory? It's just like saying that I have a lot of things to sell, but then I have had a wrong demand forecast, or the consumers are not liking my brand, that is why I'm not able to sell. So both add a lot of cost to the company. So one, in case of a raw material inventory, it adds a lot of cost to the product, and in case of the finished good inventory, adds a lot of overheads to the company in case of maintaining those inventories. Next is the actual production. So you've done the planning, you've had perfect vendor contracts, you've planned for your raw material inventory, work in progress inventory, and then comes the actual production. So based on the production plan and the raw materials, so they move from the inventory to the production line or the assembly line or the shop floor, and then you have the work in progress. So there is also something called as a work in progress inventory, and the finished goods then reach to the warehouse. Now we just spoke about how the finished good inventory is very important to be maintained at an optimal level, so that the sales are more, you don't see a demand supply gap. So also there's an important point to note is that if you start shipping a lot of finished goods directly into the market without doing proper quality checks, then also it's a problem, because customers might find some flaws and then you would have to arrange for reverse logistics, and then again it adds on to the cost. So before the warehousing, quality checks are also really important. In case of warehousing, why it's important, because we just mentioned there is inventory carrying cost to it. The way, there is a proper way in which the inventory has to be maintained. So you have to have design proper warehouses. Just to give you a live example, so I was working on designing a warehouse solution for one of the FMCG giants based in India. So they've got warehouses with the size of, say, roughly what, 6 lakh square feet and 8 lakh square feet, right? So they needed some kind of robust solution where they could track the inventory through a entire Wi-Fi mechanism. So there was barcodes, there were Wi-Fi, and there were IoT solution which was deployed. So I designed it just off the track, because we were discussing warehousing solution. So I thought it is important to mention this. And next comes the transport and logistics. So it is the actual actual transmission line, I should say, so that, you know, it, you could use air, you could use say roads, and the actual logistics or the transport is very important, because, you know, there are certain businesses which run on these. So there are, I know so many shipping companies who make a business out of it, right? There are certain containers who are specifically designed to put those materials. So again, taking an example of Amazon, the way Amazon is able to guarantee you a next business day delivery, or you are able to see, right, that within 24 hours it will get delivered, within 8 hours it will get delivered. So it's basically, they use some kind of IoT devices for tracking where the shipment has reached, and then they are able to give you this. But then unless it is backed by a very strong logistics network, it doesn't really happen. So we've seen all these building blocks. Now actually see how the entire thing looks like. So let's look at a key diagram and understand the value chain. So this is the supply chain management. So it starts with the production planning, as we saw. It was a key block in the supply chain. From the material planning, then comes the material procurement and the entire integration with the supply chain and the ERP, because you have a lot of external suppliers, external partners, so they have to be onboarded into your ERP systems. I haven't shown here the actual production or the shop floor details, because I thought it's more to now concentrate on the SCM part rather than on the production line. After that, it's the warehouse and the order fulfillment. Then it moves on to the distribution network. So distribution network is probably the last leg before it reaches to the end customer. And then it is the reverse logistics. So I took an example of Amazon, where the reverse logistics was really important. So last is the reverse logistics. So end to end, you would see it forms a part of the supply chain management. In this next diagram, what we see here is the value that each of the function carries in the entire supply chain, right? And I've named it as the SCM value chain. So here we see that the raw material, the components, the manufacturer, retailer, and the end consumer, how the entire flow of goods and services happen, and how value is created at each of the legs. So when a goods or a services passes from one stakeholder to another, there is transfer of goods, obviously, and then there is transfer of information. Now, from an IT perspective or the enterprise solution perspective, capturing this information is really important. And that is the heart of the entire SCM function that gets captured in the entire ERP system. So there are ERP systems where you have SCM as a function which gets integrated in the ERP function, and we'll talk about those in greater detail. So let us now look at which are the SCM activities. So there are different activities, and primarily I'll categorize them into three levels. So one is the strategic or the high level activities that a customer, that a company looks after when we talk about SCM. So high level decision making of the management happens through the strategic activities. So just to give you an example, so say if a company, say for example Tata Steel, right, Tata Steel wants to plan having their manufacturing site. So they would not just put up a manufacturing site because the land is cheaper. They will have to look at all different aspects. So where is the raw material coming from? So say for example Jamshedpur, right? So where is the raw material coming from? You'll have some iron ore mines which are close to Jamshedpur. So that is why they've had their plant in Jamshedpur. Then there are other things. So where are the vendors located? Is the transportation route or the logistics really close? So is there a port or there are better roadways nearby? Or how is it that they're going to manage the entire transportation of the goods, finished goods or semi-finished goods in this case? So these are some of the strategic decisions that a company takes. Then we look at some of the tactical decisions. So tactical decisions are more related to the cost benefit analysis. How do we incorporate the industry best practices? How do we have a long-term purchase strategy in place with the key vendors? So creating a win-win situation both for the partners as well as for the company. How do we have lesser holding costs of the inventory, warehouse contracts? So these are more tactical in nature. So one, we saw the strategic decisions, then we saw the tactical decisions, and third are more operational related or the day-to-day related decisions. So the typical ones include the production schedule changes. So based on the demand, based on the inventory that is piled up, how my production schedule has to plan. Do I need to run my factory 24/7 or I can have some gaps in between? Then negotiating the contracts with the suppliers, ensuring that the movement from the warehouse happens. So these are more operational in nature, but again, so a key part of the SEM activities as such. Now let us look at some of the key strategies when we talk about SEM as a function. So things have actually changed a lot from the traditional model, and now there are a lot of strategies in place which take care of the SEM as a function to deliver competitive advantage to the company and have a high customer satisfaction index. So let us understand those. So one, you see a lot of push-pull strategies. Now you all understand what is a product push and what is a product pull, right? So say, take an example of a FMCG company for which a market is already created. Say I want to launch a candy brand. So I'll have to have a push kind of a strategy. Say for example, if Perfetti or ITC wants to launch a small candy brand. Now the way they will do it is because they have a very strong distribution network. It will not hold them back to use the same distribution channel for rolling out the candy flavor in the market. So that they will leverage that. In case of a pull strategy, the customer will actually want it. So say for example, something like a high-end phone, say OnePlus, right? So the OnePlus phone that was recently launched, there was a lot of pull from the customer because they felt that the product was really good. So although the distribution or the retailers were really small, there was a pull from the customer to actually buy those products. Then there is direct to customer. So direct to customer, we see less of such companies in India, but then yes, you will find all the luxury brands who do a lot of customization and personalization. So these companies are majorly into direct to customer. Then there are strategic alliances. So you see a lot of IT companies doing strategic alliances. So say for example, someone like HP would then tie up with say a virtualization player called as VMware to have a strategic partnership in place. Amazon Web Services might tie up with something called as someone called as a VMware to have a strategic alliance in place, right, to serve to their end customers. Then there is mass customization strategies. So these basically strategies are developed so as to cater to the customer needs, but then these are mass customization. The direct to customer was specific to the customer where customization or personalization was done, but then mass customization is let me give you an example. So something like say a McDonald's. So McDonald's, when catering to the Indian taste, so something like a Mac Aloo Tikki Burger, right? So it's an example of mass customization. We would want, as Indians, we would want something which is a little more tangy, a little more spicy. So they kind of bring in these kind of customization. Then there is dynamic pricing models. A typical example would be that of a hotel, right? Or airlines. I mean, airlines is a better example of a dynamic pricing. So say if you have to look for a fare between city A to city B, you look for it for 4 times, 5 times, and if you then scroll for it for the 5th time, you will see that the pricing has gone up. Now, why is it so? Because they anticipate that there is a lot of demand on that particular route, and that is how they've increased the price. Then there is e-procurement. Now, what is happening is, and this is a real life case that I can relate to. E-procurement is now gaining a lot of popularity in the market, because earlier, when a company wanted to have its procurement done, so it used to come up with a request for information, that was the RFI, then it was followed by RFP, that is a request for proposal. So these were all paper documents. Then there used to be some n number of bidders who would submit, then there will be a technical qualification, then there would be a commercial qualification, then a final bid would open. Then they would have a L1 and a L2 criteria, that is a lowest bidder and the second lowest bidder, plus they would have a technical qualification, so say a technical 1, technical 2, technical 3, and then they will actually make a combination between L1 T1 or L1 T2 and stuff like that. Now what has happened is, in case of an e-auction, everything happens online. So they've reduced the paper trail, that is one, and then they've reduced the time for the bid to reach the end customer, the company, right? So it's had huge advantages for the vendors or the suppliers. So imagine a situation where a supplier is sitting, say, in Delhi, and the organization is located in Mumbai. So they don't have to physically go to submit the bid. So it's a e-auction and a online auction bid process. So it really makes life simple for everyone. Okay, so to ensure that the supply chain operates efficiently and meets the customer demands, companies have now adopted technology, and that is the whole crux of supply chain. So this is what a typical SCM module would do. Now let us look at the order fulfillment process. Now we spoke briefly about the ordering mechanism, but now let's dive deeper into it. So the order fulfillment is a key process chain in the entire sales order. So order fulfillment consists of all the activities between the placement of order from a customer to the delivery of the order to the final customer. It involves strategic order fulfillment, it involves tactical orders, and then there are obviously the operational order fulfillment. So operational would typically involve something like order generation, processing, actual shipment, tracking the status of the order, post delivery, getting the customer satisfaction. And then in today's scenario, there are a lot of e-fulfillment processes that are different from the physical order. So remember the e-procurement that I spoke about in just a couple of minutes back. So in case of order fulfillment also, there is e-procurement, that is e-fulfillment that is happening. Typical example, again, the e-commerce companies that you can see the order status, everything online. So there is absolutely no paper trail. And the advantage about the e-fulfillment process is that everything is real time. Again, giving an example of a courier service. Now, earlier, the couriers used to come to our house, they used to take a physical signature on the chalan, as we call it. Then they would go back to the office, then they will do the reconciliation, and then they'll figure out that the order was delivered successfully. Now what happens is, say for example, a Blue Dart, right? The Blue Dart, when he delivers a courier to your place, he will take a signature on the handheld device. And they will scan it there itself. So basically it's real time, and it gets reflected in their backend system that the order has been delivered. So a message could then go to the originator of the order, saying that the order has reached to the end customer. So it's the entire process has now become very user friendly. So this is the e-fulfillment process.